on a tune. Don't be unwise, just be not by my side. You won't believe your eyes, watch the X-ray rise.
Welcome to the Angry Dorks podcast. We're Angry Dorks.
You can see us on
Ustream being angry about things. Today we've got Ed Greer.
Hello, Ed Greer, comedian extraordinaire, according to me.
Yeah, according to everybody. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Matt Blackwood. Say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah, it's an audio medium, man.
Yeah. And then we got Clee Wiggins sitting in for Don Goodson and generally being awesome.
Hello. Thank you, Ron.
Yay. So today we're going to talk about a couple of things. The first thing we want to get out of the ballpark is we all went to Kamikaze and did various things there. I want to get your guys' take on like what you liked, what you didn't like.
I destroyed so many U.S. ships, you guys.
I'm not sure what that means. Let's.
How did you survive? Because Kamikaze, I'm not very good at it. Bad Kamikaze.
Too busy winning.
I survived.
I'm a shitty Kamikaze pilot. All I did was drop my bombs and fly away home.
So you're just regular pilot, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like the wave of the future. You can reuse all these motherfucking pilots.
Just keep the plane working.
This is some crazy shit.
Well, I was going to say, just in regards to Kamikaze, I really, Kamikaze is, for those who don't know, the answer, or rather Stan Lee's answer, I guess he endorsed it, but there's two people who were running it. I don't know, remember their names, but they're pretty awesome. And basically,
Oscar Torres is one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And Kamikaze is basically the answer to Comic-Con. It was in the LA Convention Center. There were many people there, many geeks, cosplayers, you know, video gamers. Just they had 8-bit systems set up on the floor for people to play.
Yep.
They had comic book retailers all over the place and a bunch of panels. Matt Blackwood did one. I did two.
I did
Ron
one.
Was on
as well.
One.
Clee did one, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, Clee did one. It was really fun to me.
Plus, we did stand up. But let's talk about the what you thought of the actual convention itself.
Well, this was the second year, right?
Yep, second year.
Everybody who I talked to, I didn't go last year.
I didn't either.
I didn't even know it existed. Everybody I talked to who did go last year said that it was basically like one big room that wasn't that big.
Yep.
Like it was like one little floor,
and the panels were like
this time.
Separated by curtains or some shit.
Right, exactly. They would just throw up curtains in between and just sort of have everything at once, and it was all just sort of slipshod. And then as soon as they put, they really just got their shit together this year. They got the Stan Lee stamp of approval, and when I got there Saturday morning, the lines were fucking insane. The lines were around the block.
Yeah.
Like literally around the block going like, I have no idea where I'm supposed to go to get into this thing.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the biggest problems was they were bad at putting together the actual convention when it came to the lines.
I don't think they had any idea how many people were coming. I think that it ended up exploding. I think Sunday was a lot more what they thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday was insane.
Yeah.
When Sunday I first got was there, like nice and easy and chill. Sunday felt more like a Chicago con or something like, but Saturday was nuts.
I don't think
they
were expecting it at all. Like, I have a friend who went last year, and he said the same thing. Like, last year it was just a one big ass room, and then he's like, and this year, he's like, they were not ready for what happened to them this year.
Yeah, and I really liked that.
But they did with the best they could. I thought they did still did a pretty.
Yeah, once you got in there though, I really liked that there were so many small, independent booths.
Yeah.
To get sketches, awesome. Like I got a sketch of Moon Knight from someone. And the guy was super excited when I said, he was like, hey, what kind of sketch you want? I'm thinking.
Was Moon Knight getting shot because of his stupid ass white costume?
Yeah. We talked about that a little bit. Like, hey, here's an idea. Go hunt at night while you're glowing white. That'll keep you safe.
It's like Moon Knight's mom is like, don't forget your reflectors, honey, so the guys can see you.
Now you won't be able to be shot by the villains. They won't see you.
Now they'll see you, so they won't accidentally shoot you.
It's like, a good thing that an Egyptian god heals his shit.
It's like, Mom, I don't think that's how crime fighting works. But, I mean, I think, I really did think that they did the best that they could in regards to just the response that they got, which is actually heartening, you know, that there was that many people there to participate
learning.
In the event.
Yeah, so we'll assume next year it'll be better.
Yeah, I felt like the panels were the same way. They had some panels that were a little smaller that they wouldn't have had. at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like they had like some little booths. So you saw a lot of the same stuff that you saw at Comic-Con. Like there were a couple things that I wanted to buy at Comic-Con that I ran out of money for that I saw at this one. Like I got my girlfriend a little companion cube plush toy.
Nice.
From Portal. So
we got a
vintage Boba Fett doll.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
I got unicorn shit. I know that sounds weird, but there was a thing called Unicornutopia. And there was these, well, first off, they were all like goddamn
adorable
chicks.
Was it the same
chicks.
Convention? Are you sure?
Yeah, it was. Okay. Definitely. No, that was just, I'm sorry. That was just what I was doing on my own.
Well, you love unicorns, man.
I do. I totally find them entertaining.
Magical horses.
Yeah, that's badass with a horn.
I like things that have horns. One of things.
Yeah, right?
See? Yeah, I'm not going to start about magic. But
No, it's cool. Your hate for magic is unfounded. It's cool.
It's unbridled. It's I don't know if it's unbridled.
My only thought about unicorns is like evolutionary speaking. What the fuck is that for?
Well, they used to fight demons.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My mistake. I didn't think
it was
about
like
demons.
Pure. It was pure good too, because they're pure good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't forget it, bitch.
Unicorn, you've committed
they wouldn't say bitch either when they killed a motherfucker. You got to talk into the goddamn
Sorry.
Microphone, Clee.
I am talking into the mic.
Clee is awesome. What were you saying about unicorns, Clee?
Oh, well, according to Harry Potter lore, like killing a unicorn is like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Apparently, I wouldn't have known that without J.K. Rowling.
Next to killing a baby unicorn.
Oh, yeah, like a veal unicorn?
Yeah. But it's delicious.
But, do you think whenever anybody got an email from her, they always thought that she was fucking with them? Because, like, it always ended with, J.K.
This motherfucker over here.
This guy. Look at this guy. Yeah, where's...
I got a book pitch for you. It's going to make you billions of dollars. J.K., stop emailing me.
Well, I was going to say, as far as the panels, we participated in comics, right?
Yeah.
And I was very heartened by how packed the room was. I mean, we were in a really cool room. It was packed to the gills, and everybody was really there to see geek comedy. And I was really heartened by the fact that it was like people really responded.
Yeah. What percentage do you think was people just trying to get off of their feet and going like, which thing should I go to?
Well,
oh, comedy.
We were early. So we were like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we're at 3 o'clock.
I feel like, and a lot of the people I saw were people I personally handed out flyers to. So I think.
Oh yeah,
a lot of them,
much props to Ron for barking.
Yeah, I worked my ass off, you fuckers.
We reaped the benefits. Yes.
Yeah, but it was fun and it was worth it. And I feel like they were coming for comedy. These guys also had a 6 o'clock show that was pretty well full too. And I feel
I'd say that room was like 2/3 full.
Yeah, I feel like a part of that was definitely. Taking a rest,
awesome.
But another part of it was like, yeah, let's enjoy comedy.
That was the nerd FUBU. That was the by nerds.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy
for nerds by nerds. Yeah, that was, and that was pretty cool because I think the atmosphere was more heckly.
Yeah,
in that room.
It was.
There were a bunch of people, like somebody wanted to make Erica Ennis wanted to make a joke about Aquaman, and they just stopped her. Have you read the new 52? Aquaman is cool now. And I was like, dude, it takes more than a couple of forced-ass pages to make Aquaman cool.
You laid that down. I gotta admit,
I am
a defender of Aquaman.
Ass.
Huh? I am a defender of Aquaman as well.
The guy can throw a fucking tank through a wall.
I can't, but no one gives a shit. I can't defend a heckler, man.
No, you can't. You can't.
Oh yeah, no, I can't.
I don't care if
they were
right.
Adorable
I don't care if they're
Asian
the rightest.
Hecklers,
yeah, they were adorable Asian.
But to go back to unicorns for a second, we got a hilarious
comment.
from I can't pronounce her name, Rachel Callow, I'm gonna say.
Rachel Callow, yeah.
Yeah. She said that also the fairies that ride unicorns are celibate, so they use the horns for ellipses. ..
Oh, nice. Nice. I like these fairies even more.
It's been so long
Everybody
since
knows
I've done
my,
ellipses. ..
Wait a second.
Ellipses.
Nice. Everybody knows my penchant for banging fairies, so I'm a little.
Yeah,
I don't like the fairies that ride unicorns, I would say.
Well, what did you expect them to do?
I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, you just can't compete with that horn. I mean, it vibrates and it twists around.
And it's magical.
Magical.
I think that's part of the magic.
It's probably got orgasm magic in it. Just sending out orgasms. Bam. Take that, fairy.
And I think a lot of the, also, as far as the panels, I mean, I got to meet Neil Adams. I felt stupid, though.
Cool.
Like, I saw Neil Adams, and I went over to his booth, and there was a bunch of people around it. But it was so funny to see Neil Adams, like, in this tiny little corner, jammed in a cubicle, drawing pictures of fucking Green Arrow and having people kind of crowd around him, but it was still kind of, and I saw Cree Summers' booth, which was really sad and in the back and nobody was at it. And then .com from 30 Rock was there for some reason.
That's weird.
And he had like t-shirts and his,
Oh, we saw Lou Ferrigno too. That was pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, we saw Lou Ferrigno.
I shook Lou Ferrigno's hand once.
I saw Stan Lee, but that was from a distance. Really? It was super soft?
Super soft.
That's cool. He moisturizes.
That man moisturizes, for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't do as much.
You can tell.
Green paint does a lot of good for your skin.
Yeah, green paint has aloe in it. You didn't know that.
Clearly.
Ladies, put on the green paint.
Yes, please, seriously.
But I really felt like it was a really cool event, and I really felt like one of the biggest pops I got when I was performing, I said something like, oh yeah, guys, and there ain't no goddamn Twilight panel here, and they went nuts.
They
went
that.
Nuts. Nice. And I was like, wow, there really is sort of a geek backlash against the invasion by so-called other areas of pop culture. Geek culture and pop culture are two different things.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Really is.
And so there was a distinct lack of just this lame, regular pop culture stuff.
No big fucking booths of like, there wasn't a Marvel floor. Like, you know, and when you go to Comic-Con, there's a giant part that's like a Marvel floor, a DC floor, even a Dark Horse floor and all these other things where they take up so much space. It's like frustrating because you're like, well, can I just see some comic books and a couple of cool little dudes. We got a call.
The DC floor is extremely fragile, though. You can punch right through a wall.
Who's our caller? Hello?
Yes, I'm calling for the location of Inspector Gadget.
It's Dr. Next Claw. Time, man. Next time.
It's Dr. Claw, everybody.
Awesome, Dr. Claw. How's it going?
I want the location of Inspector Gadget.
He's in my pants.
You should tell him.
Is this what Scream 5 is about?
Is this like a semi prank call?
Yeah, like he's on his Google Gadget cop.
If you do not know the location, join us to me and I will cross you.
Why does really Christian Bale's Batman want to know
where Inspector Gadget?
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think that's true.
I think he's in a cauldron in a cabin.
I will check that out. Okay. I'll check out much more. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your
welcome.
Call, Claw.
Have a nice day, Claw.
Okay, I got to play Ed's role and go a little devil's advocate here for just one second.
Okay. Hold on, I got to do one thing.
Yeah, that was right. That guy deserved that. What makes Twilight not part of sci-fi, because it does have sci-fi tropes. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying, can we judge whether something fits under the umbrella of sci-fi by the quality of it? I'm not saying that subjectively can be good. I'm saying that objectively is bad. That is an objectively bad thing.
We all agree Twilight sucks, but does it count as part of fantasy slash sci-fi?
Exactly.
Because
there's
vampires.
It is kind of fantasy.
Yeah.
It's shit, but it's fantasy.
You know what? I would tend to honestly agree with you, Ed Blackwood. I think I would definitely agree, but it's one of these things where I really think it's the over culture jacking certain aspects of this culture and then just repackaging it, much like how, you know, certain people feel about what's that show? Shit. The geek show on
CBS.
Big Bang Theory.
Which we were talking about earlier.
Matt Blackwood spits on the floor. how that sort of jacked aspects of geek culture and then sort of try to sell it back to you as some hodgepodge, some cannibalized piece of shit. I think Twilight's the same way.
Well, what she did was, was super genius, because she took that fantasy thing of wolves and vampires, which women generally think are hot, even if they're like killing maniacs, but instead of making them killing maniacs, made them these
teenagers.
These sad people who were misunderstood, who couldn't control their urges and just needed to work really hard to control their urges. And they made an underdog girl like be the hero, so like every girl who feels frumpy or not attractive can feel like they can get banged by some hot vampire or a wolf at any time.
That's pretty much Kristen Stewart's entire like lot in life, though, right? Like, that's to make everybody, every girl feel better about themselves. It's like, hey, she's the fairest of them all, you guys. Like, yeah. Could be too.
Exactly.
Well, looks don't matter for the fairest of them all.
Well, the thing I was really disgusted with by Twilight, though, was this whole conception of like, yeah, like the dudes just want to eat chicks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we just want to eat them. We either want to eat them or savage them. You know what I mean? There's no nuance to it. There was really no romance to it. So
we got another call.
Hello. Oh yeah, I think this one is Brain. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, how are you guys doing?
Good. Who's this?
It's the Inspector Gadget.
Oh, now it's the real Inspector Gadget.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey. Did the Claw ask for my location?
Yeah, we told him you were in Mount Rushmore.
No, you didn't. Shit.
Yeah. Are you actually in Mount Rushmore? Who is this?
What is this?
Dude, we officially have a crazy stalker.
Do you think it's Joe Starr?
That sounded a little like Joe Starr to me. I apologize to Joe Starr if that wasn't you.
Yeah, I don't think that was Joe Starr.
I think he's busy being cool somewhere.
Also, I think Joe would be funny.
that's a fair point. You're right. That was not Joe Starr.
Well, do you know what? That's the one thing. People, we have no way of screening these calls. So if you want to call in and be fucking crazy, I guess you can. Yeah. It's been proven twice.
I don't even know how to hang up on you correctly. So there's a pretty good chance you'll be able to stay on the air for a little bit.
I think that'll get us more traffic. Like we will be the repository for crank calls.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, also, let me say, just so I can say this on there, Comics on Comics, the other show that I did a panel with, they let me go on their panel randomly. Like after they came and watched us do comedy, I went and just to go watch their panel, and they were like, "Dude, you want to go up on the panel?" I was like, "Fuck yeah!" So then I got to meet Michael Uslan, who was the producer for the last three Dark Knight movies.
As well as every other Batman movie.
Yeah, he's produced all the Batman movies, yeah, exactly. Including 89 Batman, the best one, in my opinion.
Wow, interesting. 89 Batman's your favorite?
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, yeah, she jizzes all over that movie. All
day. Fair enough. Keith David was up there.
Nice.
Yeah,
Not to be confused with David Keith. Keith. Yeah. This is Keith David, the black one.
The black one.
The good one.
Yes, he was awesome. So cool. Such a cool dude. One.
No offense to David Keith, but can you name a single fucking thing that he did?
Firestarter, which is an awesome-ass movie.
Firestarter. I am the terrific Firestarter.
He was the father. He was
Yeah. I don't even remember him in that.
But he was awesome. And the best part was I got to be, not to be super cocky, but let's be super cocky real quick. I got to be funny during it. And that's all I basically did. I threw in a few things or a few, like there was they came up the Superman versus Batman thing, came up just for a second. And of course he was, because he's a super Batman fan. And this guy, he knows everything about Batman. It's interesting that he's produced all of these movies.
I know, because you would think some of the ones he wouldn't let see the
light happen.
Day.
Yeah, but
Joel Schumacher. It gets too big for any one producer. If he was the money guy, I doubt if some of those things had happened. But he was really a creative guy, and you know what happens to creative guys in film.
Yeah, was he like Val Kilmer could have killed Superman, but not George Clooney?
Yeah, no, he just said Batman always wins because brains always beats brawn. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that works for me with my 146 IQ and 133 pounds. I'm sure that's worked plenty of times. Anybody want to fight me? Let's do this.
I think Dr. Claw wants to fight you after that dismissal.
Yeah, I let Dr. Claw know. And fucking Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, you let both those fictional characters have it, didn't you?
I did. It was good. It was good times.
But yeah, finishing up Kamikaze, it was a really great experience, and I really felt like it's really got a great future in regards to, the fact that the spillover from Comic-Con and people, wanting a place to actually see some comic books. You can go to Comic-Con and not see any comic books. That's creepy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You could, for the first half an hour, 45 minutes, you could just be wandering through the weirdest shit that has nothing to do with nerd culture.
I mean, dude, sincerely, going to Comic-Con and not seeing any comic books is like going to a Twilight convention and not seeing any fat girls. Hello.
Fucking smack that shit down.
Kahlo had a Val Kilmer sighting yesterday. She says he ate it Follow Your Heart yesterday.
Oh, wow.
How many times?
47.
Several.
To any comic book convention and not seeing fat dudes, okay?
Yeah,
okay, that's just to throw it out there.
Oh, or big titties. Did you see Power Girl?
Man, Klee was with me when Power Girl was around, so I mostly stared at the floor.
My peripheral has a fondness for big swingy boobs.
Yeah, my peripheral got an eye full of Power Girl.
I got a picture.
I did not see Power Girl. I will tell you the two super hot costumes that I saw, though.
Okay.
I saw an excellent Hawk Girl that I also saw at WonderCon.
Oh, that was
badass. Yeah. And I saw a great Shadow Cat who made a little...
little dragon.
Yeah. She made a little Lockheed to put, and it just was like taped to her shoulder or whatever. Oh, so she was walking around with it. She was excellent.
I saw her too.
Oh, I got to give honorable bad mention to R2-D2 Hello Kitty.
Oh, that was terrible. I was
offended. She was a girl in an R2-D2 onesie, and she had a big helmet on. She had a big giant helmet on, and then, yeah, it was awful.
She was terrible.
Yeah, yay. That's a fail.
I found her.
She had a big helmet on that had ears on it, like Hello Kitty and whiskers, but it was like R2-D2.
She had a bow on it, and it said R2 Kitty on the back of it.
Well, look, you don't know that helmet wasn't prescription.
I did see an awesome Darth helmet.
I just want my helmet to look
good. Oh, shit, really?
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, man, did you get a picture?
No, I did not get a picture.
Oh, Darth helmet, that's a good costume. I saw a Doc Brown from Back to the Future 2.
Saw that one.
With the big yellow coat. I like that.
I was about to say, how do you know it's 2?
Because he had the sunglasses.
He had the metal sunglasses look.
The 2015 future look.
Yeah.
Which, you know, any day now.
Any day now, big yellow coats are going to come into style.
Do you think that some of the people who are fans of Back to the Future will just make that, like if we're in fashion, we'll just make that the fashion? They'll just start making
just
that
start
shit
wearing it
in 2015 just to put it out?
I think they
there's
should.
Because there's all those Back to the Future fans in the fashion.
If they haven't thought of it, then
isn't there?
They've got 3 years to make it happen. Tom Frank says he said the creepiest thing he saw was a thing on stilts was the best costume there.
Oh, really?
Creepy thing on stilts was the best costume there.
Nice, dude.
That's according to Tom Frank.
Creepy thing on stilts.
Who knows?
There was a girl dressed as Xena who just, her face just looked so much like Xena that it was freaky.
Was she the one that had the Callisto with her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
Xena looked like fucking Xena.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, that's good. I wish I would have seen that.
I wanted to try to make out with her, but I figured that might be rude.
I feel like Callisto would have beaten your ass before you got there. It definitely seemed like she was the bodyguard.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
All right, do we have to take a break real quick before we get Bruce on?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. Are you cool with break now? Awesome. We're going to take a break, you guys. We'll be back in just a minute. Listen to this awesome stuff that's going on here at Skid Row Studios.
Hey, everyone. This is the weekly wrap-up with Ken August.
And Kike Castillo. Tune into our show on Sundays from 9 to 10 p.m.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Hello, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, inviting you to listen to the Coram Report Monday at 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time at www.skidrowstudios.com. We discuss issues that's relevant to the Skid Row and downtown community. Tune in and check us out.
Okay, I gotta say the Pacific. Ah, fuck, I hate my voice. Fuck! Hate it. Jesus Christ, I hate this shit. Oh, man. Do you guys like talking to me and hearing my voice? Because I would fucking hate it.
Stop it.
Let's try it again. That's not brain, right? Yeah. Let me try it again. Please listen Pacific time. Hi, this is Vince. Listen. Fuck. Everybody's looking at me and shit. You guys are probably noticing how fat I am right now. You're like, man, how sweaty I am. Hi, you're listening to the wrap-up show with Gary Jabate and John Hine on Howard 101. Hey, this is Vince. Listen to the More Music Radio Pod every Thursday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Pacific time on SkidRowStudios.com. Fuck your mama.
Welcome back, everybody, to Angry Dorks Podcast. I think now we're going to talk a little bit about X-Men versus Avengers, the newest one that's come out. So, by the way, if you haven't read them...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. We will be saying some things that have happened. Oh, before we do that, though...
Spoiler alert. It's shit.
I got to do this real quick. Hold on.
What I do and what I do isn't very nice.
That's my Wolverine. Have you read it, Klee? You probably haven't yet.
No, I haven't.
Okay, Klee can't.
Nor have I gotten the. I don't read comic books that often, but I get the breakdown from Ed usually. Nice. It's something that looks interesting.
So Matt, you think it's shit? Let's hear why.
Okay, here's the deal. I kind of stopped reading comics month to month a little while ago, basically when I didn't have the money anymore.
Understandable.
When I moved to LA and didn't have the money to buy comics every week anymore. So I basically just went cold turkey on that and decided, all right, well, I'll pick up trades every now and again on the essentials.
Yeah.
And event books, as we all know, are not essential.
That's what I'm starting to realize.
I can no longer hear myself in my headphones.
Oh, yeah, I had that problem with that seat, so...
I can hear you. Can you
switch? The thing that I would say about, you know, event books, I agree with Matt in that it is messed up that they have all these stipulations for you gotta read this and you gotta read that and you better read this. And even like this whole Court of Owls thing in D.C., they did some major stuff. They revealed that like Nightwing was always supposed to be some sort of assassin. Like Dick Grayson was always supposed to be an assassin. He was supposed to be raised as an assassin, and Bruce saved him from that life. They revealed that there was a secret group of dudes called the Talons, or the Circle of Owls or whatever, who controlled the city, and they used these assassins called Talons, and Batman never knew about it, so Batman looked like a dumb asshole for being, oh, I'm the heart of Gotham, and you don't know shit about the city. You don't know.
As opposed to when he dressed like a bat.
Well, I mean, there's bats outside versus owls, man. But I'm just thinking, it's just hilarious how, like, usually event books are for either retconning shit, like jamming some new character up your ass, or causing an upheaval for things that are boring. And either way, they erase whatever's boring, and then they go right back to it like 8 months later, so what the fuck?
All right, here's a storytelling thing I want to talk about real quick.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with writing to the change, with saying like, oh, here's a thing I want to see, well, how do I get there?
Okay.
You know? And so writing to that thing that you want to see. But when your entire story is just a vehicle for some other story to take place at a later date, and this story isn't cool,
yeah,
well, then we don't give a shit.
And doesn't everybody fucking hate Cyclops at this point? Why are we having Cyclops be the center of anything? Because he's the center of this, by the way, everybody. I mean, basically.
Because everybody hates Cyclops. That's the thing, is that the way they have mishandled this character for the past few years has led everybody to go, hey, fuck Cyclops.
Yeah, he's a dick. He comes across as a dick all the time. And now he's
the only
super
person
dick.
That's done a good job with him in the past few years is Joss Whedon. And I'm ordinarily not a fan of his comic books. Like, I thought his take on Runaways was terrible.
I don't remember that one.
Well, if you're not familiar with Runaways, they're a group of kids that find out that their parents are supervillains.
Oh, wow.
And so they just fucking run away and take some of their parents' shit, and they're just on the run with some stuff. It's great. It's a great book. But the guy who wrote it, Brian K. Vaughan, went to TV. He went to go write on Lost, so he just left the comic behind.
Oh, man, I wish it had written on Lost, what with it being the shittiest TV show ever.
But
the shittiest TV show ever.
I've been trying to work my way through it, and I can't get past it.
I went to second season and was like, go fuck yourself. I want something to actually get explained and make sense. Go fuck yourself.
No, there's a polar bear with chains on him. Damn it. I mean, I know those are two different
on
events.
On an island. On a motherfucking island. Okay, go on.
So they're just some kids trying to survive. They got a few crazy powers that they inherited or gear that they inherited. They're just trying to survive in the Marvel Universe. Joss Whedon takes over, and suddenly it's a superhero book where they call themselves the Runaways, which, like, they're a superhero team. They never said that before in the book. And it's like, it's so clearly, you know, he's when he's coming in, he's saying, oh, I'm a big fan of this. And it's very clearly, you never read this. Like, you couldn't have read this and thought this way about them. Like, either you read it and you were just completely wrong. You just got it all wrong. Jumbled. I don't see how you could be a fan and actually and fuck it up that bad.
But thought he did a good job with Cyclops.
With X-Men, just in general.
Astonishing X-Men.
Right, oh, yeah. His Astonishing X-Men run was the shit.
It was
he
one of the best
He brought back
ever,
Colossus, which is like, great, because you know,
Colossus.
Look, we all know that the Marvel, Vietnam Memorial is a fucking dry erase board. Yeah. You know, like we all know that everybody's gonna come back. Yeah. But like we hadn't seen Colossus in years, and the way he brought him back was good.
Yep.
He focused on Kitty Pryde, so having her love interest in there,
yep.
It was a good. So everything he did was good. But the most important thing is that he put Wolverine to the fucking side and had him do a cool thing every now and again.
Yep.
That made Wolverine fucking cool again.
Yep. Right. Rather instead of focusing on, Wolverine picks his nails. Wolverine does it. Every single scene was a bunch of people who were important to the story doing stuff. And you cut to Wolverine and he's like, I like beer. Or you cut to Wolverine and he's like, yeah, man, that's fucked up. Or you know what I mean? You cut to Wolverine, he always had some pithy thing to say, but it wasn't like reams of dialogue.
He would say, damn, or it's right, whack.
Right. It wasn't him going, you know, I'm the best that there is at what I do. And I'm from Canada. And I got a brain. My brain got washed. And all this crap that makes him lame.
Isn't very nice.
Exactly. He wasn't doing that every 5 seconds. He was an actual cool character that was. But anyway, in regards to Avengers versus X-Men, my beef with it in specific is the Avengers are literally every other fucking hero in the Marvel Universe.
And that's some not X-Men.
X-Men too. You know what I mean? So how would you ever even have Avengers versus X-Men? Well, Wolverine's on both teams, Storm's on both teams. And the Avengers are just letting everybody in at this point. Daredevil, everybody knows this about me. I love street level heroes. Favorite characters of all time: Batman, Punisher, Daredevil, and like
Luke
one
Cage.
Other guy. And yeah, well, I'm supposed to like Luke Cage, but I don't. and to a certain extent, the old Denny's Cowan run of Black Panther, I really liked him. They made him a techno hero. They made him Marvel's Batman. There was a lot of cool things about how they did Black Panther a long time ago. So anyway, the bottom line is I like street level heroes, but man, Daredevil does not fucking need to be fighting. Mike Deodato drew a picture of Daredevil pushing the Hulk's chest while other dudes jumped on his back. What the fuck are you doing pushing his chest, Daredevil? What are you even doing there? Yeah. Why don't you go do something else?
Like go protect your own city.
Right.
Which is what you would do. And the other thing that
I'm going to go fight these 20 ninjas. Daredevil, your sonar is off a little bit. That's one dude. That's one big green dude. And he's like, oh shit.
I thought they were just standing on top of each other, man. This sucks.
Awesome. Good times.
I've never been a fan of Daredevil. I find it.
She hates Daredevil and it's going to drive a wedge in our relationship.
Daredevil could be super fucking cool. Go back and watch Trial of the Incredible Hulk. That's a good fucking Daredevil. I actually like that Daredevil.
I love Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Yes, but, thank you.
But Daredevil's
pretty
dumb.
Badass.
Daredevil is not dumb. He's super cool.
He's a fucking ninja. He's a ninja.
He was the first white ninja that made sense.
Yeah, he's handy capable.
Yeah. He's super capable. Anyway.
Hey, look, no, cool. It's cool, Clea. You can hate handicapped people all you want. No,
I know, right?
Yeah. No PC shit over here.
No PC shit over here, nigga.
My big problem is what I was talking about before, writing to the outcome. You know,
yeah.
You got the outcome you want and you're just trying to get everybody there.
So what do you think the outcome they want for this is?
I don't know, apart from it seems like they want Cyclops dead.
Woohoo!
I don't give Woo-hoo! A shit anymore. But the point is that the writing is so bad to get everybody into place where all it would take is one person going, hey guys, maybe we shouldn't fight about this. And they should all immediately go, you know, these are fucking adults. They should all immediately go, oh yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they had the scene, all right, the scene in, nobody else has the same theory as me, as far as I know, but the scene in the Avengers where they're all being dicks to each other, and you're kind of like, why are they such dicks to each other? Like, why don't they just work together and be the Avengers? And I was like, oh, it's that fucking staff. That staff is like sowing discord among them. And nobody else thought that I saw it with.
That's what I thought it was, too.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Well, and they kept fucking panning over
right.
to
they
it.
They showed you know it, and it's like, it wasn't like,
they were trying
subtle.
To use it as a right. as a piece of that, yeah. And okay. then he put his hand on it. It was like, get your hand off the staff.
So basically the entire Marvel Universe has a Loki staff in it, I guess. It's staff infected because... everybody is just a complete fucking dick.
Yeah, everybody.
And if I can't follow the logic of how you get immediately into a fight, like,
well,
y'all like point, kids killing each other for sneakers.
To be
at this
fair,
point.
I think that's called writing staff infected.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and they're trying to center on Hope Summers being like the perfect source for the Phoenix because her mix of with Jean Grey or whatever.
I can't ever love Hope Summers.
Me neither.
Because of what they fucking did to Bishop.
Fair enough.
I mean, they're like, hey, we need to have an adversary that's chasing after her. Hey, how about Bishop? Nobody's doing anything with him, and he used to time travel.
We have two really good internet comments from Eric Barnes. His first one is, finally got a chance to listen. I can't think of a bigger comics disappointment than how the Runaways was handled after Vaughn left. So many great characters and potential flushed away. So he agreed with you, Matt.
What?
That's so many great characters. And then the second comment is that he made was people shit on Bendis and team books, but his run on Daredevil is better than Frank Miller's now classic run, in his opinion.
I love Bendis.
Yeah.
I love Powers.
Powers is awesome.
I love Scarlet.
Scarlet.
It's this little street level book that he's doing independently.
Haven't seen it yet.
It's basically it's a revenge that becomes a revolution.
Okay,
but there's no superpowers.
Well, and this is my other problem with this X-Men versus Avengers thing. They could have all just teamed up and protected her from the Phoenix because they all knew it was coming.
Yeah, it makes no sense that they were fighting. That they're all down to fight.
Yeah,
and then.
Except for that Scott was being a dick, and that was it.
But everybody was being a dick. That's the thing. One person being a dick.
Yeah, I mean, Captain America was a dick, too. Captain America goes to fucking Scott Summers' crib and goes like, yeah, man, gonna have to grab up your bitch and put her in custody because, you know, Phoenix Force is coming and we need to snatch her up. And Scott's like, no, you're just not gonna come on our property and snatch up one of our members and go put her in some fucking gulag.
Yeah.
And then that was an actual conversation.
Yeah.
That was an actual conversation. And I read one of them where... Wolverine wanted to kill her, and that was one of the silliest issues ever. Wolverine wanted to kill Hope Summers because he knew that if she got the Phoenix Force inside of her, that she would just spaz out. So he goes, if I kill her, then there'll be no vessel for the Phoenix Force, which kind of makes sense. But then Captain America goes, nope, can't do that, and kicks Wolverine's ass and like gets Giant Man to help him kick Wolverine's ass and throw him out of a fucking window in Antarctica. So Wolverine drops in Antarctica and has to walk his ass from Antarctica to someplace. And Hope Summers picks him up in Antarctica and says, hey, buddy, don't kill me. I got a plan. And he goes, okay, I'm listening. What the fuck? He just fought Captain America over the right to kill you. And then when you show up to help him, he doesn't just slit your throat instantly. Yeah. He listens to your plan.
And then he also, on top of that...
He's a good listener. He's the best.
On top of that, he betrays her just a few minutes later, too.
What?
He betrays her like a few minutes later, too.
Right. He betrays her to Captain America, who's like, wait a minute, was that super undercover or something? Maybe I don't understand how to read, but that just felt like a dumbass.
It's all about the fight. And the thing is, I'm sick to death from when I was a child of, oh, hey, wouldn't it be cool if this superhero fought this superhero? It's like, answer, yes, it would be fucking cool, but have a winner. Like, every single time it's, oh, they're interrupted by the villain, and then they team up. It's like, just have somebody win and say, this character would beat this character. And they were getting a little bit better about that. Like, in Thor, in the Straczynski run of Thor, when they first brought him back, he had a full-on fight.
That was an accident.
But he had a full-on fight with Iron Man and just whooped his ass.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not even close. And you're like, and he just left Iron Man basically like surrounded by like a paperweight that was all fused together. And he couldn't do anything. He's like, yeah, go fuck yourself. I'm a god. And he just walked away. And he's like, yes, thank you.
Yeah, there's the fight.
They had a reason to fight. They fought. One person won. End of fight.
Yeah.
And that actually happened.
And they're heroes, so they wouldn't kill each other.
That's clearly not happening in this. The reason that they don't really have a reason to fight.
But they're also using this book. That's another thing I don't like. They're using this book and like stuff like Civil War to wrap up storylines or to kill people that suck. Like what we were talking about on your podcast, Matt, about the Punisher. Punisher gets used to like shoot shitty characters and then they don't even stay dead. Like, motherfucker, why don't you just keep them dead? That was the whole point of him shooting them. And then, like, in this one, like Storm and Black Panther broke up, which was the most forced-ass couple ever. It's like, it'd be like if me and Clee were at some cracker party, and they just made us be together.
Because they're both brown.
Yeah, because we're brown. You know what I mean?
It's like an Animal House. Oh, have you met...
Right, exactly. Have you met this other black? Other black. Meet other black. Meld into one uniform monolith. Get the fuck out of here.
I just think it's, better,
and
y'all.
And leave immediately.
I just think it's better if the blacks stay with the blacks.
Right, and that's what basically Marvel said.
And can we start calling her Black Storm, just in case there's a White Storm later on?
Yeah. Now, we're going to bring out a character called Snowstorm. We're gonna give her a big artificial push. She's going to be the official Storm. But yeah, I mean, dirty Snowstorm. That's what you're going to be called.
That'd be the Mexican one?
That's terrible.
Is that, yeah. But no, I mean, I just felt
or
like
they
did
that just be white trash one because they're smelly.
Oh, that's fucked up. No, but they used so many of these opportunities for these fights to knock out storylines that sucked. Black Panther being married to Storm sucks, so they got rid of it using this event. Cyclops is boring as fuck, so they try to make him super powerful and have everybody fight him to see if they could give him some buzz.
Actually, can I ask you something? How ballsy would it have been if instead of them having a fight break him up, what if they just lived together and were like, man, this sucks. Let's get a divorce. You're terrible to live with.
I just wish Black Panther would have said, hey, bitch, how many teams are you on? You know what I mean?
You know the Marvel Universe is Catholic, right? They don't believe in fucking divorce. They believe in annulment by way of Mephisto. They say, hey, can you make it like this shit never happened?
That is, I think that might be the best thing said on the show.
Because when Marvel, I call it Marvel's midlife crisis one more day, because it's the first time that they did something full on DC, like where they just said, oh no, we're just gonna retcon in continuity. Like, we're gonna just gonna say, here's a reason that's a kind of a vague, weird explanation of why we're gonna change shit. And the reason they change shit, like, I spoke to editors about this at a con. And they were like, well, we just thought that there were so many stories that we missed out on of telling a story about a single Spider-Man. I'm like, you sound like a guy who wants to leave his wife. Like, who's like, there were just so many chicks I could have banged. It's like, well, yeah, but it's over now. Like, he is fucking married. Either have the balls to have them get a divorce or to kill her ass.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, we all, I don't know about you guys, but one of my favorite things about Peter Parker is that he marries a hot broad while being an uber nerd.
I like that he says hot broad all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they stole that from him. They took that from him,
and it makes him a weirder character. And it creates friction when he's constantly got to be worried about people finding out his identity because he puts Mary Jane and Aunt May in danger all the time.
God, I wish they had just killed Aunt May.
Really?
They can't fucking leave anybody dead. Like, just move forward.
Oh, yeah.
Slowly move forward.
If you kill someone,
people can always
it.
Read the old issues. You don't have to rewrite the same goddamn issues over and over again.
And the one thing that really bothers me is that Marvel used to be, at least, and they still are to a great extent, though, they still do respect their own continuity.
Yeah.
They still do.
Well, and like I always DC, felt like they had a respect for stories, too. Because one of my big complaints about when you're comparing DC versus Marvel is DC stories are usually just, they've got no human element. It's just all fantastical.
Well, half their characters are aliens.
Yeah.
To be fair.
But which is why stuff like Identity Crisis stood out so much. You know, not just because it was violent and fucked up, but like it actually seemed to be them taking into account their shared history together, the different things that may have happened to them, and a sort of Watchmen-y sort of like, this happened, and the fallout of it was so incredible that everybody tried to forget it and all this kind of stuff. And Batman having to do like a real great mystery solve type thing. That was really cool. That was one of the cooler DC books. Yeah, that was one of the cooler DC events
ever.
And
you didn't need any other books. It was just this one great fucking DC story.
Exactly. And I feel like they could do that sort of stuff with all comic books, especially Marvel comic books, and sort of trades or limited series. Why couldn't the Civil War be a big maxi series, like 12, 15, 20 issues that you of a run of comics that you had to read? And that story happened in those comics.
Yep.
And maybe the regular continuity. They used to do that with Secret Wars.
You mean
and stuff like
Executioner's
that.
Song, where it like crosses through from this book to this book?
Well, no, not like that. Like,
you mean
like
just one issue.
Like just one book. We create a book, and this story will happen in that book until it's over.
And they still all have their separate shit going
and,
on.
And if something happens that affects the whole other universe, like they did that with Secret Wars. Spider-Man Peter Parker swung into Central Park, went into a giant machine, came out the next issue with a black costume that crawled all over him, organic webs. What the fuck happened? Well, you gotta read Secret Wars. Yep. Got to read Secret Wars, find out what happened. They could keep going on with the team books, but they could have real major events happen. I don't understand why they couldn't just flash forward. Oh, man, Scott Summers is dead. Everything's fucked. All the teams are all the people hate each other. What happened? Well, read Avengers versus X-Men. Marvel.
And if they'd done that right, Civil War is a great idea because the idea behind it was you know, clearly the mutants aren't going to get behind that because they don't want to be registered for the government because they've seen what being registered does. And then, you know, and Captain America obviously was, I loved that they made Captain America stand up for the non-registration side because I feel like he might have actually done that. Because
I'm just glad he didn't put that Nomad costume back on.
Well, every time they take Captain America out of his regular costume, I'm just like, dude, stop it.
Yeah, seriously.
Stop it. You look like a fucking asshole. He had a blue jumpsuit with his head exposed and, like, no shield. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? He looked like a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent from 1962.
We have another comment. You know that comics marriages are shit when the only stable couple seem to be Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Buddy Baker, and Ellen Barker.
Who was that?
That was Eric Barnes. He has made some very prescient comments.
Well played, Eric. We're going to actually have Eric Barnes on this show in probably a couple of weeks.
So. Eric's a very funny geek comedian, if you don't know.
We got about 5 minutes left. Maybe we should talk about stuff we got coming up, just so we can get that off before it's the end. What do you got going on, Matt? Any comedy shows coming up?
Nope.
All right.
I got two day jobs. So
when is your podcast drop? When you starting to show that off?
I now have a few episodes in the can that I'm happy with. So I'm just trying to decide on the vehicle for dropping it right
okay,
now.
Okay. Yeah. Me and Matt Blackwood talk about the Punisher for like 2 hours. So if you want some supersized ass Punisher awesome. Cop podcast, you should definitely check that one out. I think it'll probably be the millionth episode debuted, though, because I'm not a draw.
Wham. No. You're a draw for me.
Ed, you'll be a draw very soon. You crushed it. Ed, you guys, if you didn't see Ed at Comic-Con, it was ridiculous. Ridiculous how well he crushed. Klee crushed it as well, by the way.
Thank you, Ron.
Very good job. Everybody was super funny. It was so much fun.
And Ron was very great, too. He's going to downplay that. But Ron, it's what's funny about doing geek comedy at some of these places is really having the people embrace all the references and having people embrace all that. But at the same time, we're also doing good comedy.
Yeah.
We were also actually performing well. You know what I mean? And there were people who just walked in. I could see they were like anime nerds. They didn't get any of the references that we were doing, but they got the fact that it was funny.
Yeah, there was a lot of anime at this convention. Like, a lot of people dressed up in anime characters.
I saw quite a few anime. I don't know anime at all.
I see that at every convention. And there's always... It's one of those things where you think, finally, my people. And then you look in like 60% of them, you're like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a lot of skin, though.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Klee, what you got any shows coming up?
Not anything for the rest of our September. I don't have anything until next month.
What is it? Do you remember?
I can't remember what it is, though.
You guys are totally unorganized.
I'm at Bar Pico on Wednesday at 9 o'clock.
Cool.
Bar Pico Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and doing Jared Bonner's show. Bonner's in your face.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
I'll be in Sacramento. That's right. I'm going to Sacramento Punchline October 10th.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm Saturday or this Tuesday. I'm at Michael's Bar and Grill.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's a good show.
Are you doing the Geekscape show?
No, not a Geekscape show. Just a Dr. Robinson show.
Oh, the Five Guys show. I'm doing that on the
Five Comics on
the Side of Fries. Yeah. They finally got their half price appetizers back. So.
Yeah, half price appetizers. It's going to be awesome. It's Tuesday. I think it starts at 9.
Yeah.
They'll be there.
That
at
show's
8:30.
Awesome. And the half price appetizers are delicious, especially the bacon wrap prawns.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Yeah, she's a prawn.
Then
in
September.
This deadly game.
A prawn, you motherfucker.
September, the bacon is what makes the game deadly.
Bacon is the best.
For real.
September 30th, I also have a show at iOS called Death of the Weekend with Brock Wilbur, who also will be on the show at some point. Brock is also
Brock is awesome.
A nerd.
Oh, yeah. One thing we should do starting these shows, I know we always jam it all in at the end and we do all this stuff. We need to tease something that we're going to talk about next week.
Next week's going to be awesome. One of the main things we're going to talk about is we're going to do a what's better sci-fi show. What's the best sci-fi show in all of our opinions? That's especially why we're going to have Klee next week because Klee...
I'm a huge fan of sci-fi.
Expert on sci-fi TV shows.
Mm.
It's going to involve, you know, Star Trek, Firefly, We might throw Star Wars in there just to throw it in.
You know what? I'm going to be the advocate for the Twilight of those shows, which is Knight Rider and Airwolf. I think they're both sci-fi shows because they both talk about vehicles.
Knight Rider, I'll give you. Airwolf?
No. Airwolf, not so much.
Airwolf is a sci-fi show.
Knight Rider just barely qualifies.
No. Airwolf is a sci-fi show.
Because it's like a future technology that doesn't make any sense.
It's a fucking...
Well, by that logic, then that Hulk Hogan show, Thunder in Paradise, should qualify.
Nothing with Hulk Hogan qualifies.
Dude, I didn't know Thunder in Paradise was up in the shit. Why are we even arguing?
We may also, in a couple of weeks, by the way, have some wrestling on the show as well.
Okay. I got to say right now, though, Firefly is not going to make it to the end of this, you guys.
It's still one of my favorites. I'm going to argue
it's so good. It's so good, but this is a salad days argument. This is that Camus shit of it died before it got bad. It's not fair.
That's a good point.
It was never bad.
It's not. Yeah,
I'm still including it.
It died while we were still in the honeymoon.
It's the Biggie Tupac argument.
Yeah.
Both of whom died before they got bad. And both of whom were getting kind of hacky at the end. Yeah, I said it. So, you know what I mean? So, I agree with the whole die before it got bad. Before it had an opportunity to get bad. We have no idea if it would have gotten bad. We have no idea.
That's how fun this is going
to
be. Because I'm also
Biggie and Tupac, the rest of us don't necessarily agree with the comments of Ed Greer.
I also might even have Jonathan London, who loves Farscape, or at least have him call in to argue his Farscape.
I wish you get some Babylon 5 fucker in here.
It was Farscape.
Babylon 5. Oh, Battlestar Galactica.
Dude, when I saw that tentacle beard douche, Stargate. I was just like, no Farscape for me.
Okay, I tried to watch Farscape and I was like, I can't do this.
Stargate, why not?
I did Quantum.
Why not is because if you're going to put Richard Dean Anderson on TV, make it fucking MacGyver, goddammit.
Oh, yeah, no, Quantum Leap needs to be in the conversation too. Okay,
yes,
I'll defend Quantum Leap.
Yes,
that'll be my
view on Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Quantum Leap, no, that's not my shit.
All right, we got 10 seconds. Thank you guys for listening to Angry Dorks. We're live Monday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Follow me on Twitter, at Matt Blackwood.
Matt Blackwood.
At Clue the Pimp.
All right, thanks.
Tune into The Love Bite, where all your kinky desires come true, Sundays, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time at Skid Row Studios.